Hello, welcome to 21st Century Moses Podcast. My name is Sammy Zhu, your host. How do you deal with the problems? We all have problems, but the question is, how should we respond to the problems? Some people love the problems, so they want to get through it, they want to solve the problem with their power, with their strategy, with their own knowledge, and then so that they will become the better person after the problem. But some people want to get away from the problem or get around the problem. You know, when the problem happens, they just go directly to the TV and then they just turn on and watch TV for 3 hours, 4 hours, or 5 hours, or they just surf through the internet. Just click through the YouTube, and this is when I waste or kill the time. But they have a good reason, because they don't want to think about the problem, so they want to get away from problems just for a few hours. But the bigger problem is they will face the problem again, they will be worried about it, they will be concerned about it, so they will find another or bigger entertainment, like drugs and alcohols and things like that, so they will be in the bad cycle. But the question is, how should we as Christians to deal with the problems in our life? So that's something that we want to study together. Today, we're going to look at disciples who face the problem, but we'll see how they solve the problem, how they got through the problem. So let's look at John chapter 6, verses 16 through 21 together. It says, "Now when evening came, the disciples went down to the sea, and after getting into the boat, they started to cross the sea to Capernaum. It had already become dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea began to be stirred up because a strong wind was blowing. Then when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near to the boat. And they were frightened. But he said to them, 'It is I, do not be afraid.' So they were willing to receive him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land to which they were going." Amen. There are 3 points I want to make from this passage. The first one is, to the sea. Second one is on the sea. Third one is cross the sea. We'll see that disciples were getting into the sea, not were getting into the problem, but we see that Jesus was walking on the ocean, walking on the sea. He was above the problem. So eventually, immediately, they cross the sea. They crossed they got through the problem. So let's look at one by one. The first, let's look at verse 16 again. "Now when evening came, the disciples went down to the sea." So far so good, but verse 17, we see the problem happening here. "And after getting into a boat, they started to cross the sea to Capernaum. It had already become dark." So we see the first problem here. It had already become dark. So of course, you know, sailing in the ocean during in the darkness would be tough. But not just that, Jesus had not yet come to them. So Jesus was not with them. So this is definitely the problem, that he was not there. His master, Jesus, the master and or teacher, in that context, was not there with the disciples. But in verse 18, we see another problem. The sea began to be stirred up because a strong wind was blowing. So we see all the multiple combination of the problems right here. It was dark, Jesus was not there, and then the ocean was stirring up, and then there was a big wind, a strong wind. Now, let me give you some context of this story. Now, these people, the disciples, were expert in the sea because most of them are fishermen. However, just because you are expert doesn't mean that you have no problem. You will have a problem. But the bigger context of this passage in John chapter 6 is this, that it starts with a great miracle that Jesus was preaching to the people, and then there were more than 5,000 people, but they were hungry. They didn't have any food. So Jesus is asking his disciples, "Hey, where can we get this food to feed all these people?" Jesus already knew what he was going to do, but he wanted to see how these disciples were answering. And one of the disciples said, "You know, even if we have lots of money, probably it will not be enough, big enough to feed all these people." But another disciple said, "Well, we have a kid, but he has a very little lunchbox. You know, five bread and 2 fish. That's it. But that's good enough for one person, but that's not that's not large enough to feed all these 5,000 people." And then amazing, amazing miracle took place. In verses 10 through 15, we see that Jesus began to multiply those 2 fish and 5 bread. And eventually he fed 5,000 people with that small lunch. And then Jesus is asking disciples to collect all the, you know, leftover food. And then there was a 12 basket full of leftover food. Jesus fed 5,000 people more than abundantly. So Jesus performed amazing miracle. Now, after that, of course, the people were so excited. I'm sure the disciples were excited too. These people were like following Jesus, and they were feeling, we're going to look at that later. I feel like, oh, this is really the king that God has sent. This king is going to take care of us with his power, with his miracle, and then we're never going to be hungry. So these people wanted to make Jesus as their king. So Jesus separated himself from the crowd, and he went to the mountain to be alone. Most likely he was praying to the Lord. So if you just stop right there, it's like, wow, this is definitely a pinnacle of the day. It's a heyday for disciples that, they might think that, you know, we made a right decision to follow Jesus. See, Jesus is amazing. He is not like other people. He definitely has a power, and he fed 5,000 people. You know what? He is going to make us rich, and, you know, we're going to have a really nice life with Jesus. Hooray. So, and then, you know, people were like, oh, wow, you know, we'll never get hungry because this man, Jesus, can definitely feed us. So after a big, big miracle and the popularity, this problem happened, which the problem that we just saw in verses 16 through 21. So what does that really mean? Just because you have experienced the miracle of God, that God performed amazing miracle, just because you follow Jesus, just because you are obeying Jesus' command to, you know, give the food to 5,000 people, doesn't mean that your life will be always smooth. You can still face issue and problem. These disciples were getting into the problem in the midst of all the, despite all the past glories, amazing miracles, and the popularity, they still faced the problem. They still went into the problem, just like many of us. Yes, there are lots of people, you know, made a decision to follow Jesus. And they probably would think that, you know, because Jesus is true King, true God, so that my life would be easier. That is not the case. Your life may be even more difficult than ever before. You might get into the problem like no other time. So maybe some of you are already getting into the problem, just like the disciples were already getting into the problem. So if this is your case, if this is your story, then do not panic. You are not alone. A lot of us have a problem, and we're getting into the problem as well. So the good news is this, that is not the end of it, because we see that Jesus on the problem, who is above the problem. So let's look at the next point. So look at verse 18-19. Then when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles. Now this is, it says it's the sea, but this sea is not a big sea. It's only about 7 miles apart. But they kind of rowed about halfway, because it says that they rowed about 3 or 4 miles. Again, these are the experts in the ocean. So probably they were just like, okay, we need to get through this ocean anyway, despite the storms right here. So they were determined, they were going, but with their own effort right here. So they were driving about halfway. But here's a very interesting thing. They saw Jesus. So if they saw Jesus, they must be happy, like, oh, finally, our Lord, our teacher, our master is here. But interestingly, this is what happened. When they saw Jesus walking on the sea, drawing near to the boat, they were frightened. They were scared. It doesn't say they were scared of the storm or the nature. However, it says they were scared of Jesus. Isn't it funny? But just think about this. Think about the situation. They were stressed out in this stormy sea. When you are stressed out, it's very easy for you to be blinded. What do I really mean? If you are surrounded by situations and pains and sufferings and all of that, your perspective, our perspective can be twisted. So even when helping hand comes to us, we might see the helping hand as a different look. It's like, oh, you know, that person is not trying to help me. That person is trying to torment me, hurt me, because we're already becoming pessimistic, and then we are like so traumatized somehow, and our view turned to be negative at all the time. So that's kind of similar situation that was happening here. Of course, Jesus was walking on the ocean. That's a miracle, but they never seen that type of thing. They were so foreign to that type of miracle taking place. So even though they saw Jesus, they could not recognize Jesus as he was. They were thinking probably, oh, that's a ghost. So the ghost is drawing near to us. So they were afraid of Jesus in this case. So we can see that, you know, people can be misled, people can be just blinded by the surrounding, by the problems they had. However, here is the truth, that Jesus never abandoned them into the problem. So Jesus was with them, actually, and Jesus was drawing near to these people who were in the trouble. But more importantly, Jesus was walking on the ocean. What does that mean? Jesus was above the problem. Jesus was not bound by the problem, but he was managing and he was beyond the problem. In other words, he was in control of nature. He was in control of problems. Now, we see another passage that Jesus was in the boat from the beginning with the disciples, but there was a big storm, and everyone was afraid of the storm but Jesus. Jesus was sleeping on the boat, but Jesus got up, and then he calmed the ocean. Now, in the book of Exodus, we see another ocean miracle that Moses parted the ocean. But it was not really Moses, but God used Moses to part the ocean. What does that mean? God divided the ocean by his power. So if you put them all together, we see amazing work of God related to the ocean. God parted the ocean, God calmed the ocean, and God walked on the ocean. What does that mean? That means Jesus, God, is above the nature. He is in control, perfect control of nature. So Jesus revealed his identity, who he is, to his disciples. Think about this. Had it not been with the ocean, the problem, these disciples would not be able to see who Jesus is. Through this problem, they saw Jesus who walked on the ocean. Through this problem, they saw who Jesus was. Jesus was not just the feeder of 5,000 people with two fish and five bread, but Jesus is also a miracle worker who is beyond the nature. He is in control of the ocean, the nature. So we can see the amazing, amazing identity of who Jesus is. He was on the ocean. He was beyond the problem. So that leads to the next point, that they crossed the ocean. They crossed the sea with the help of God, with Christ Jesus. So let's look at the following passage. In verse 20, but he said to them, "It is I, do not be afraid." So Jesus revealed himself to these disciples. So they were finally willing to receive Jesus into the boat. Their eyes were open. They finally realized that it was not the ghost, but it was this their master, their loved teacher, the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, Jesus Christ. And then immediately the boat was at the land to which they were going. So they arrived final destination safely immediately when Jesus got into the boat. Okay, so they made it. They crossed the ocean. They crossed the problem with Jesus. So that it reminds me of the Proverbs chapter 16 verse 3, that leave all your works to the Lord and he will accomplish it. So your work will be accomplished, your goal would be fulfilled, your purpose would be fulfilled, your destination will be achieved. But how? By leaving all your works to the Lord. What does that mean? That God is the one who leads you to the destination. Now, these disciples started with their own power, right? They rode about 2-3 miles, but along the way, who did they meet? They met Jesus, and they welcomed Jesus into the boat, and immediately they arrived into the destination. So we can see the picture right here, that even though these the disciples were expert on the sea, but it's not really them rowing the boat to make it to the destination. Although it may look like that, however, it was in between. We see that Jesus's intervention, and Jesus got into the boat, and they arrived safely to the destination. It shows that God is the leader, and He is the good shepherd, that He always lead us to the green pasture, as in Psalm chapter 23. He leads us and He guides us, and He safely help us to arrive to the destination. You know, God calls us for ministry, or that God gives us the calling in our life, but He is the one who leads us to fulfill that calling. It's not by our power, but it is by God's power. So we need to understand that to cross the sea, to cross the problem, to arrive to the final destination, it is the Lord that who leads us and guides us. So how should we live our life with this truth? First of all, we need to recognize that we will have a problem regardless of our walk with Christ Jesus. Just because you walk closely with the Lord, just because you obey the Lord, doesn't mean that you're free from the problem. You may bump into the problems, even more problems. Is that a bad thing? No, that's not a bad thing. As we see in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, God works all things for good for those who love Him, for those who follow Him, obey the Lord, because God knows the best for us. But the best does mean the rose in our life. God allows all these problems. I mean, think about this, that when the heyday, like feeding 5,000 people, it was all good, and people got to know who Jesus was, that he meets our needs. But because of the problem, the storm these disciples experienced, they learned another identity. They learned the revelation of Jesus, that Jesus is in control of nature. God allows problems in our life, not because He hates us, not because He doesn't like us, but because He loves us, that He wants to reveal Himself to us through the problem, through the stormy gale, stormy sea, ocean. We see who Jesus is, that Jesus is beyond the problems. Jesus is in the perfect control. Now, but the problem is a problem, and pain is pain, and it's not easy. Now, when Jesus was crucified, His disciples were all ran away. That is not what they expected. That is not what they signed up for, because they were signing up for Jesus, who is mighty strong, that who could feed them with 2 fish and 5 bread perpetually, forever. But that was not the case. Jesus was crucified in a horrible way, that He was tortured and He was whipped, and he shed His blood, and it was so graphic. It was so difficult. It was beyond the measure. It was so hard to bear. So the disciples ran away from Jesus. Even Peter denied Jesus 3 times because of his fear. So that is really the weight of pain. Pain does not look good. It is very, very difficult, and then it can definitely twist our perspective. Like everything would look like a negative, so that we might think like God is not there, God is not helping us. Just like, you know, when they were rowing the boat, the problem was getting worse and worse. It was dark, there was a storm, Jesus was not there. So we might think like we are all alone, and we don't have any helping hands in our life. And even if there is a helping hand, we might think it as our enemy, or a ghost on the ocean. So that's exactly how the disciples were thinking. However, in 3 days, everything changed. That Jesus victoriously conquered the death and sin through resurrection. That Jesus rose from the dead, and He showed Himself. He revealed Himself to the disciples on the way to Emmaus, and then all the other disciples, 500 people who followed Jesus. So what does that mean? Had it not been with crucifixion, they would not be seeing the resurrected Lord Jesus. If Jesus did not die on the cross, then these people would not see the risen Lord Jesus Christ. God used the crucifixion to show the risen resurrection of Christ Jesus. Yet Jesus conquered the death, and he paid the penalty for our sin, and he is the Lord of lords and King of kings. He has ultimate authority of all things. So God uses the suffering of Christ Jesus to show us who Jesus is. And same thing, that God uses the problems in our life not to torture us, but to reveal who he is so that our faith would grow deeper. Through the resurrection of Christ Jesus, this disciples' fear turned into deeper faith. The problems became a tool, instrument to experience God more and more. So even the problem is a blessing in our life because God uses it to reveal himself. So what do we need to do? We need to trust in the Lord who is above the problem. When you look at problem only, when you fix your eyes on problems only, then you will become pessimistic, you will become negative for sure. But if you look at Jesus who is on the ocean, who is walking on the ocean, who is walking on the problem, who is beyond the problem, then your faith, your heart would be gripped with joy and satisfaction. Philippians 4:6, do not worry about all these things, but bring your petition with thanksgiving to the Lord, and God is going to guard your heart. And in the same chapter in the verse 13, that we can do everything in Christ Jesus who enables us, who empowers us. So there's nothing to worry about it because it's not us who are rowing 2 or 3 miles, but it is really God who is beyond the control, who is beyond the nature, who is beyond the problem, who is in perfect control of everything. So we need to trust in the Lord, trust in Jesus Christ. He never left us alone. He is walking on the ocean. He was just walking over the nature, over the problem. So, and not just that, he is drawing near to us. He is saying, it is I, do not be afraid. As long as we have Christ Jesus, the problems will not be a problem anymore. Problem is God's tool to reveal who God is. So it's a blessing. So trust in God alone. And then finally, when you arrive at the destination, don't think that it is all your work. Don't think that you rode 2-3 miles to make it. No, it is not that. Because Christ Jesus is with you, who is, and he is beyond the problem, and he is in your boat. That's how you made it. So praise God. So when we get to all the accomplishment, when people cheer for us, no, it's not us. It is the Lord Jesus Christ who is in our boat, who leads us and guides us. So always humble ourselves and focus on the Lord and praise the Lord. So yes, we have all the problems in our life, even despite our faith in the Lord, but it is a blessing from the Lord because it helps us to see who Jesus is so that we can trust in him and we can worship him, who is beyond all the nature, beyond all the problems. So let's praise him alone. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you, we praise you for this wonderful blessing, wonderful truth that Jesus Christ, who conquered the death and who rose from the dead, he is in our boat. He is with us in our problems. We thank you that you are beyond the problems and you are in perfect control. So Father, we trust in you. We worship you all the way through. Even when we make to our destination, it is not us, but it is you who have been with us all the way through. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' holy name, I prayed. Amen.